I have a message, and I'm going to speak the message, but this morning I had a backup just in case. My message tonight is, it was for freedom. Does freedom reign in your place? You just sang it did. My freedom in Christ should respect his freedom in you. My freedom in Christ should respect his freedom in you. In other words, he set you free. And because he has set me free, I should be mature enough to see what he's doing in you and you and those around you to respect the work he's doing. Some of you are young enough to remember Steve and Annie Chapman. They were folk singers. They had a couple of kids about our kids' age. And the kids sang a song one night as they were praying to the Lord. I don't know if they were begging for mercy or they were just reminding the Lord, he's not finished with me yet. So my freedom in Christ should respect the fact he is not finished with me or with you. And so I should not judge, as the New Testament commands, whether you can eat vegetables or meat, or whether you read the New Testament first or the Old Testament first, or whether you raise both hands in worship or no hands in worship. Freedom is freedom. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 10:29 says, "For why should another man's scruples apply to me, and my freedom or liberty of action be determined by his conscience?" If the Lord has set you free and you know he set you free, don't let someone else lock you back up again. We've all been there. I can't remember exactly how many laws there are in the Old Covenant. There's hundreds. There's hundreds. Over 700. And you wear yourself out trying to keep one. So don't let someone take your freedom. So this is a Thanksgiving message. I don't often do Thanksgiving messages or any holiday message. But as we approach Thanksgiving 2022, let's look at the origin and collapse of freedom for a few minutes. The origin and collapse of freedom. We cannot do much for freedom until we come into righteous alignment with the source of all freedom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many believers are not in line with the source of all freedom. We've made a confession, but we're not aligned with the freedom he has for us. Any student of history understands the United States of America was birthed by the idea governments should promote liberty and justice for all, rather than only for the elites. This is where we are today. The chosen few who can buy it all think it's all for them. Oh, by the way, if you're in time, God is moving quickly. A lot of people ask me where I am on the elections. I think God moved pretty quick. Some people said it's been 2 years, but it's been less than 3 minutes for God. He's moving quickly to bring righteousness, peace, and joy into the earth. Amen. It's not about who's in the House, the Senate, or the big house. It's about who's on the throne. And who's on the throne in your heart determines whether you know freedom or not. The idea of liberty and justice for every person bubbled up in the turmoil produced by the oppressive taxation and unjust laws coming from a long-established and powerful monarchy in Great Britain. They were accustomed to forcing their will on their subjects. The idea of having personal liberty to worship according to one's own conscience, or the right to own property, or no taxation without a proper representative government, inspired men and women to risk all, even their lives, in the quest to obtain such freedom by a revolution. I am thankful I grew up in the 50s and the 60s and learned history, not revisionist propaganda. The pilgrims came for religious freedom, not a better business world. Go read the old documents. Read the diaries of those who came. I'm fortunate to be married to someone whose relatives came over on the Mayflower. I can't imagine riding a ship that small across the ocean. When we were in Honduras last week, the first night we were interviewed with questions on faith and trust in the Lord. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 was one of my answers. We overcome, our ancestors overcame, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto the death. Unfortunately, most 21st century believers leave off the last piece. If it's an inconvenience, it can't be God. Well, think about the cross. Our relatives, our forefathers and foremothers laid down everything to obtain the freedom you and I are squandering in this generation. It's inspiring to read of the heroism, the perseverance, and the faith of the men and women who founded and shaped this nation. One can only conclude they won because of divine intervention. You know, when you're willing to risk it all, lay it all down, and live for him, it's amazing how quickly he moves in miraculous ways. There is no thing impossible for Abba. So this places a question before us. Is personal freedom an idea birthed by the mind of man via the Enlightenment, or did the idea come from God? For those of you who are a little bit younger than me, the Enlightenment was what was happening in Europe. It was humanism at its best. When God created Adam and placed him in the garden, he gave Adam tremendous freedom. Think about it. He named everything. That's pretty cool for a scientist to be able to name stuff. I mean, I'm a scientist. You get to name the stuff you create, but Father created it and Adam got to name it. He got to talk with the animals. Some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. They talked to Eve, didn't they? The donkey talked to Balaam, didn't it? Do you think God's a respecter of creatures? We all have a voice. If the rocks and stones will cry out, all creation. But Adam was given tremendous freedom. The only restriction Father put on Adam, and by extension to Eve, yes, Eve was responsible, but Adam was ultimately responsible because he heard God and he was supposed to let the one created from him know. The only thing they were restricted was to avoid eating the fruit from one tree. the fruit which would give him knowledge of good and evil. The reason God prohibited this fruit was because God knew the fruit would kill Adam. In other words, God only forbade what would destroy Adam. But Adam was free to eat and enjoy everything else. He could have eaten from the tree of life. So this revealed an eternal principle. God's heart is to give us freedom in all things except what will harm us. God's heart is to give us freedom in all things except what will harm us. He loves us so much, he does not want us to experience harm. But he gave us free will. Afterwards, Satan planted in Eve's mind the idea God only banned the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in order to withhold something good from her. The deceiver has not changed. He's always the same, deceiving, beguiling, seducing. This releases a satanic principle. The devil tells us the thing which will destroy us really is something wonderful, and God is keeping it from us, thus sowing in us a desire for it, for that thing. In so doing, Satan tricks us into believing God cannot be trusted. You know, Proverbs 13, I believe it's 12, says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Hope deferred comes from a place of believing things that aren't from God and putting our hope in someone or something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here in the opening book of the Word of the Lord, the enemy seduced, beguiled, deceived, and lied to our great-grandmother many generations over. The serpent began his questioning by misrepresenting God altogether. In the New Living Translation, Genesis 3:1 says, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?'" Let me just do another aside. If you study cults today, they change one or two words in their scripture to make it read exactly like what this did from the devil to Eve. Changed a word, not from any tree, from one tree. In a famous religion which started in Palmyra, New York, and moved westward, and I won't get into why, the book of John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And their Bible says the Word was a God. Added one little single letter word and changed the entire meaning of the scripture. The deceiver has never changed. This deliberate falsification of God's position was the first recorded instance of the use of misinformation or propaganda to deceive people. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. So all of the misinformation and all of this stuff happening today is the same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. We just have to learn how to trust in the Lord. Jesus even called Satan the father of lies, in whom there is no truth, in John 8:44. Adam and Eve were newly created beings. Therefore, they did not have any inherent bias toward believing the lies with which we were born. Nevertheless, the serpent's lie proved to be irresistible to Eve. Satan also accused God of deliberately withholding something wonderful from Adam and Eve, the ability to be like God by knowing good and evil for themselves. Do you know, because Christ is in you, you have that discernment. You don't have to eat the fruit of a forbidden tree. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, the NIV reads, "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Why is being like God so alluring to us? Why is it so attractive? I'm glad I don't have to make all those decisions. This one's in, this one's not. Oh, wait, some of us do that. They go to the house on the first corner instead of the house on the last corner. They must not be in. Why is it so alluring for us to be like God? He made us in his image and his likeness. Which means, we're not going to go there, but he put redemptive purpose in every person created. He put the ability to move in gifts of the Spirit and gifts of the Son in everyone who's born again. But every created person has a little bit of the DNA of the Father in us. And he put redemptive gifts in us for redeeming everything. When he made the earth, he put a redemptive gift in Rochester, New York. It was tapped into 190 years ago. Rochester has not fulfilled her purpose yet. God created us to be dependent beings who can enjoy him and his creation with unbridled joy, as long as we are satisfied with remaining in the condition he made us. Can you be satisfied remaining in the condition he created you? In his image and likeness? Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Filled with his Holy Spirit? All three, Father, Spirit, and Son, are right here in your house. The only thing which could destroy all God intends for us is to attempt to be something more, even like God himself. This is what brought Satan down. You can read about that in the book of Ezekiel. Satan used the same lie to destroy God's most wonderful creation called humanity, plunging us all into slavery to sin, death, disease, demons, and all sorts of destructive behaviors and addictions. What we see around us today is because we, the body of Christ, have not stood and released the truth. The truth sets us free. Always has, always will. So why are we not releasing truth? Adam and Eve exchanged the life and freedom of God, which he graciously gave to them, in a foolish pursuit of Godhead status. You've heard it said before, all of our titles are going to burn off on the way to hell or fly off on the way to heaven. So why do we put so much importance in position? Jesus came to serve, and he was the greatest. Why do we find it so hard to humble ourselves and serve? By the way, we were talking about the recovery. We were talking about what was going to be important in 5783 and 2023 and the prodigals coming home. He has shown you, O man, woman, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, Micah 6:8, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. There will be no recovery for those who do not humble themselves. All prophecies conditional. Conditional on the heart being obedient to the Spirit. The lessons we learn from this is freedom comes from God. There is only one place we get our freedom. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You remember the centurion that said to Paul, "But I paid a lot of money for my freedom and my citizenship." And Paul said, "But I was born a citizen." When you were born again, you entered into the freedom, the liberty, the love lavished from God through Christ for you. There's nothing you can do to earn freedom. Oppression and slavery come from the devil. Anything promoting true freedom always originates in God. Everything enslaving emanates from the evil one, no matter how falsely an idea may be represented to us. The fruit will be sorrow, regret, loss, and death. The best program out of Albany and Washington will result in sorrow, loss, regret, and death. I'm a proponent of exercising my right to vote. But I'm more a proponent of who's on the throne. When Jesus announced his mission at the beginning of his 3-year public ministry, he made it clear his goal was to liberate humanity. We see this in the New American Standard Bible in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. He's doing the same work today through you and me, if we let him. Jesus went about setting people free from sin, sickness, demonic oppression, and even death. We had a great time ministering in Honduras last week. People got healed, people got delivered, people got prophetic revelation and destiny spoken into their lives. People got married. Great time. Acts 10:38 in the New Living Translation says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Is God with you?
Yeah.
Is Christ in you?
Yeah.
You are the hope of glory. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. So light yourself up. Take off all of those freedom robbers and let the light shine. What are you smiling about? Oh, God loves me so much. What do you mean God loves you? You ever have that conversation with someone else, not yourself? You can practice in the mirror if you want. By the way, Daniel, I almost picked your son up before service during the pre-service worship and showed him himself in the mirror so he could talk to himself. If you need to practice, get in front of a mirror and just look at the glory the Lord wants to shine through you for the world to see him. The law which God put into place to reveal our need for a Savior did its work by making it clear no one could keep the law. Anyone who seriously tries to keep God's command will eventually conclude doing so is impossible. There ain't enough works you can do right to earn favor with God. Galatians 3:23 in the Passion Translation reads, "So until the revelation of faith for salvation was released, the law was a jailer, holding us prisoners under lock and key until the faith, which was destined to be revealed, would set us free." The best the law can do is keep you locked up. The Jewish leaders of Jesus' day used the law to bolster their position of power and prestige and keep those under them in bondage. When Jesus arrived on the scene, it became immediately clear he posed a threat to the power of the Jewish leaders, which incited them to hatred and murder. Sounds a lot like the United States. We're not getting our way, so we're going to plunder, murder, ravage, pillage. We thought we were 2,000 years better. Without Christ, there is no better. Little did the Jewish leaders know God was using everything to break the bands of oppression off all of those who would eventually put their faith and allegiance in the crucified and risen Lord. After his ascension into heaven, Jesus poured the Holy Spirit upon his followers, enabling them to carry out the mission to take the wonderful news of freedom from sin, death, demon sickness, and bondage to the ends of the earth. And they did so, loving not their lives unto the death. Some you'll see in the Bible, others you have to read the historians. They all died doing the work of the ministry of Jesus. Well, I'm going to do it on Saturday night inside the four walls because it's safe in there. Not really. In the Chronicles of Narnia, we learn that he's not a tame lion. He will only put up with our games for so long. He gave us freedom so we can set captives free. In the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord I am referring to is the Holy Spirit, and wherever he is Lord, there is freedom." This is what we sang tonight. This is where the song came from. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The gospel truly proclaimed and understood will always produce freedom in its hearers. Those who pervert the gospel always do so to bring us into bondage. When we proclaim the gospel correctly, it liberates those who hear. You know who hears your voice first? You. You know what God sounds like to me? Except twice when I heard him speak audibly, he sounds like me. When I'm reciting to him what he's spoken, and he says, "That's my word." You're the first one to hear your voice. Maybe that's why we're told faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you meditate on the word, God sees it in your heart. When you speak the word, he hears it. You can speak the word without meditating on it, and he probably doesn't answer. Because the meditation of our heart and the words of our mouth are supposed to be pleasing in his sight, according to David. In the Amplified Bible, Galatians 2:4 says, "My precaution was because of false brethren who had secretly smuggled into the Christian brotherhood. They had slipped in to spy on our liberty and the freedom which we have in Christ Jesus, so they might begin to bring us into bondage under the law of Moses." Now, we think this is only because we're dealing with the Gentiles and the Jews in the New Testament passages. But the enemy has come into the bride of Christ with deception, rules, legalism, false gospels. You see it all over the place. Trying to get us off the only path to freedom, walking with Jesus. Many of you who have been with us for several years know it was this scripture that revealed a demonic intruder into this house. Is Jesus Christ the way, the truth, and the life? And no one can come to the Father but through him. Yes. Yes. And the other person riled up and said, "You may believe that, but I don't." We need to walk in the liberty of Father's love and the freedom of the victory of Jesus, in the power of his word, and discern where the enemy is trying to infiltrate to affect the lives, usually of young believers. Therefore, we are to resist any corruption of the gospel promoting legalism and slavery. Satan has not stopped trying to pervert what is precious to God in us. He has not ceased telling lies. If he can corrupt our understanding of the most freeing message in the universe, he can bring us back into bondage. I'm doing this for Ron and Val, who are away. It's a definition. Legalism is the attempt to be like God by thinking we are capable of earning our own way into God's favor and blessing through our own efforts and establishing our own righteousness apart from God's. Legalism is the attempt to be like God by thinking we are capable of earning our own way into God's favor and blessing through our own efforts and establishing our own righteousness apart from God's. It almost gets into works righteousness. It denies the scripture that says there was none righteous, no, not one. The gospel makes it clear no one can do this. The way to freedom requires us to admit we are thoroughly dependent upon the graciousness of God, who freely gives us our right standing with him. The issue at the heart of being free is whether or not we are willing to embrace our status as dependent beings who joyfully serve our Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer God. Freedom immediately collapses when we reject our dependent status and pursue independence from him. For the past 2 decades and the 4th of July, I decree my Dependence Day. I am dependent upon God for every breath, for every thought, for every word. I am not independent. I know what the holiday is about, but most Christians don't. And most Christians extend it to everything else. Unfortunately, the enemy loves us running amok. The men and women who founded the United States of America would be astonished by how we have allowed the government, won through the spilling of their blood, to become even more tyrannical than the British monarchy of the 18th century. Our government today is more tyrannical than the government of the 18th century England. How did this happen? I believe we got here by incremental rejection of God's rule in our individual lives, in our states, and in our nation. See, this is what's happening in the kingdom right now, all over the world, but in the United States. Some states are going to go with Lucifer. Some states are going to go with Jesus. The question is, where will you go? No matter what state you're in. You can't change the state you're in unless you allow him to change the state you are in. It was for freedom Christ has set us free. Unless we steadfastly hold to God and biblical truth, every good thing eventually will become corrupted. The idea of freedom to live according to God's precepts was gradually turned into freedom to do whatever we might choose. Do you want some good news? Guess not. Just seeing if you're awake. In a survey taken by Morningstar Ministries in South Carolina, of hundreds of thousands of people of every walk of life, guess what is reviving in the United States? It's not political parties, much to the chagrin of both of them. It's the family. Basic, biblical, foundational family beliefs. Conservative beliefs in the one who established the family. Not the government who wants to redefine marriage, redefine the family, and redefine everything else. But in a biblically sound building block. The family has always been the building block of kingdoms. Those with strong families, with righteous roots, became strong, righteous kingdoms. It has taken 300 years to corrupt the foundation of the United States of America. The paradox of liberty is true freedom can only be experienced when we live as dependent beings in the pursuit of God's glory. This is my daily request for him. Show me your glory. Pour your glory over me. Cover me in your glory. Anything else leads to bondage because it elevates self-will to Godhead status. Today, our nation's Pledge of Allegiance still affirms we are one nation under God, and our money still declares in God we trust. But our leaders have enacted laws and policies thoroughly against God and contrary to his revealed will in the Bible. And we choose not to vote. Voting is not a sin. Not voting may be a sin. When you get to heaven and God said, why did you waste the one ballot I gave you? Oh, by the way, I voted before I went to Honduras. I have not missed an election. I have to go vote on December 13th because we got a school budget vote. Will you steward the liberty Father's given you? Or will you blow it off? It does matter. I believe God is playing the ultimate multi-infinitesimal chess game. He sees the end from the beginning of every matter. I believe he made great gains across the United States 2 weeks ago. I'm not crying. I now have to pray for the salvation of some pretty immoral people. Yes. Someone prayed for me when I was pretty immoral. Praise God. For grandmothers and unknown people who I will meet in heaven. Say, man, God cleaned you up. He can clean them up too. Amen. I exhorted someone the other day out of 1 Timothy 2. First of all, pray for everyone. Then he says, pray for your president, your senator, your congresswoman or congressman, your governor, and everybody else. In verse 4, it says, because this is good and pleases God, who desires all, real small word, but it means everyone, men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We are free, and he expects us to use that freedom to pray for more people to get set free. According to the Bible, the purpose of government is to ensure justice and to promote the well-being of those who are governed. In Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4 of the New American Standard Bible, we read, "For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for it is a minister of God to do you to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. It is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil." Any government which perverts justice and works against the well-being of its citizens has moved outside of its God-given mandate. In a very real sense, it is an illegitimate government, because it falsely represents God. Now, if you read the Bible, whose shoulder is the government on? Jesus. If you read the Bible, he is the lawgiver, he is the executioner, and he is the judge. We've got those three offices in our state and in our nation: executive, legislative, and judicial. Any government which misrepresents God is an illegitimate government. The laws and policies put into place in response to COVID revealed just how far we have fallen from the constitutional republic which was bequeathed to us by our forefathers. The government, against all sound reason and true science, and I can speak to the science, but I'm not going to deny it, mandated its citizens to take an experimental drug, the harmful side effects of which are still being discovered. And it is horrendous. And it's going to impact generations. Citizens were denied access to worship, public transportation, medical care, and employment, depending on whether or not they would bow the knee to the government mandate. This is the height of tyranny and is anti-God. Our soldiers and many in law enforcement and the medical profession were forced to take this experimental jab or be ejected from serving their country. Pure and simple, this is oppression. The government is never supposed to coerce its citizens to violate their conscience. Such a government has transgressed God's purpose for it and has attempted to be godlike. It has become beastly in the pursuit of power and authority belonging only to God. You see that government in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. Yes, we are living in end times. The question then arises, what is our responsibility in the matter? When Benjamin Franklin was asked what kind of government our founding fathers had set up, he famously replied, "A republic, if you can keep it." History will eventually record if we were successful. If we are to preserve political liberty, we must first do everything to maintain spiritual liberty. This is why our nation was founded, spiritual liberty. If you haven't heard it, hear it again. Our nation was founded to be able to worship God freely, spiritual liberty. Loving God, embracing truth, and serving God with a good conscience are essential. That's why I enjoy coming home and worshiping in this family. We must also pray. Ultimately, the battle is the Lord's. He is greater than all human governments, and he promised in the Bible his glory will fill the earth. You can look it up in Habakkuk 2:14. If we pray for God's will to be done and his glory to be enhanced, we will always be centered in his will. How many of you want to be centered in his will? Amen. Next, we must be practical. Listen to this carefully. As kingdom citizens who live in the United States, we must do everything possible to reform our government and elect representatives who will govern with the fear of the Lord. This is how I pray for them. Father, let the spirit of the fear of the Lord rest on them. Shake them. Do whatever it takes to bring them to you. I don't ask him to condemn them. I don't ask him to judge them. I ask him to do what he said in the word he would do. At the very least, we should stay informed and use the right to vote in every election. Those believers who are inspired to become more involved politically need our support. We will help you get support if you feel called to be on the school board, if you feel called to be in the town, the city, the county, the state, or the U.S. government. We will help you get aligned with the people who can help you be an ambassador of grace and glory in a dark and dying place. But none of this will mean very much unless we first become servants of the Lord Jesus. We cannot do much for freedom until we come into righteous alignment with the source of all freedom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Having done all, we must stand confidently, understanding God ultimately is in control. Someone I love said 2,000 years ago, "Not my will, but your will be done." Are we willing to lay aside the free will he gave us so his will can be done in us and through us? Psalm 46:10 in the Passion Translation reads, "Surrender your anxiety. Be still and realize I am God. I am God above all the nations, and I am exalted throughout the whole earth." I want to conclude tonight with Galatians 5:1. In the New American Standard, it reads, "It was for freedom Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You made this nation an experiment of grace in your sight. You allowed the United States of America to come into existence so we would have liberty to worship you. Father, forgive us for assuming liberties had no responsibility. Forgive us for assuming you would give us all authority, but not call us to use it wisely for your behalf. Father, we thank you for every generation of our forefathers who laid down their lives so the name of Jesus could be lifted up, captives set free, dominions destroyed, and the glory of your kingdom established throughout the earth. Father, we thank you for the redemptive purpose of the United States of America to be a harvest vessel for your glory. And we thank you, Lord, the greatest harvest is yet ahead of us, and you've called us to be laborers, ambassadors of grace and glory everywhere you send us. Lord, we thank you for the freedom you've given us, and we ask you to multiply your freedoms through us so they will flow to others. Lord, quicken every one of my brothers and sisters at the sound of my voice to embrace you. Holy Spirit, rest on them, I pray, in your sevenfold manifestation. Spirit of the Lord, rest on them. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, rest on them. Spirit of counsel and strength, rest on them. Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, rest on them. So they will be representatives of your government in the earth. Lord, I ask you to give my brothers and sisters your gift of discerning of spirits and your gift of discernment, so they will be effective at standing against the darkness and letting your light shine everywhere they go. Lord, we thank you for the freedom and the liberty which we have in your love through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen.